Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China, on the eve of the 20th Party Congress, Xi Jinping, the general secretary, expecting to be elevated to an unprecedented third term. What does this tell us about the immediate future of China's economy, China in the world, and China in the balance of the 21st century? Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to be joined by Anne Stephenson Yang, author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending Return to Isolation, who has chronicled for us for many years the expectations of the Chinese economy compared to the realities of the Chinese economy. Anne, a very good day to you. I put the best picture in front of us. China's economy will continue to grow. This is a Bloomberg story. Bloomberg Economics, quote, has sketched out four scenarios for China's economy over the decades ahead, with a base case of 4.6% growth on average over the next decade. Models suggest a growth rate above 5% over that same time period is now out of reach due to the lasting impacts of COVID-zero policies, a fast decline in fertility, and lower investment due to a gradually shrinking real estate sector. That sounds reasonable, all balancing. So, Anne, given what Bloomberg is now saying, how does China get to the supremacy that is the dream of Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party? Or is that now a utopian vision that needs to be replaced? Good evening to you, Anne.
Good evening, John. I don't know where Bloomberg gets those numbers from. I mean, I think the thing to note with Xi Jinping is that he's always stressed the revival of the Chinese nation, but not of the Chinese household and not the wealth of the Chinese individual. Chinese individuals now are supposed to aspire to modest prosperity, owning a small car, owning a 90 square meter apartment, and not spending a ton of money. And that is, of course, what's happening. As for the growth projections, you know, China has invested something like 45% of its GDP over the so-called reform and opening period in order to achieve that high level growth. It just doesn't have the money anymore. And you will see that growth this year will actually shrink compared in U.S. dollar terms. And I think next year, you know, we're talking about quite a low number.
Gordon, the Bloomberg goes on to qualify some of its expectations, saying if the property downturn is deeper than expected and if COVID zero restrictions remain beyond 23, GDP growth may average below 4%, meaning China wouldn't overtake the U.S. in the middle of this century. These are big ifs, Gordon. The property downturn, is that profound? The COVID zero restrictions, is that profound? And is she responsible for those decisions?
Xi is the author of Zero COVID, John, and it will continue for a number of reasons, not only because he's associated with it, but because the Communist Party has made a measure of effectiveness and a test of legitimacy, its ability to control the disease. So this will continue, and it'll continue to hamper the economy. The property sector plunge, that's fundamental. There's just simply too many units and not enough people and not enough purchasing power. So there are real problems that Anne has talked about, especially that China's growth model, that China has not been able to change it. And that growth model is no longer producing growth.
You have a question for Anne Gordon.
Anne, you referred to this, I think, the fundamental issue, and that is Xi Jinping's ideology and that its effect on this investment model and the inability of China to actually shift to a consumer-based economy. If you could elaborate on those, because I think that those are really important thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the most important thing to remember is how political systems sustain themselves. And they sustain themselves with the critical support of a small group of people in the government. This is true of all political systems, and it's especially true of the Chinese political system. And that group of key supporters in government have come to expect a certain degree of cash flow. And Xi Jinping's critical task is to keep that up. You keep that up by making capital investment, not by enriching the public. Enriching the public in China, sadly, would be a recipe for the end of the Communist Party.
Gordon, demographics become a drag in some time of this century. What does that mean? This is Bloomberg's observation.
Yeah, Bloomberg, I think, totally underplays demography. And these demographic problems have been evident for a very long time. And Bloomberg, I think, has chosen not to see them. Two Chinese demographers last year predicted that China would lose half its population in 45 years. That actually might underplay the decline in demography. If you're talking about the end of the century, China could be maybe a third as populous as it is now. No nation will ever undergo such a steep decline in population in the absence of war or disease. And we just don't know how China will be able to navigate this. Yes, they'll be able to do certain things to mitigate this, but not really to actually offset the main effects.
And the property market, Gordon's comments on demography are not extreme. That's a average look at the one-child catastrophe visited by the Chinese Communist Party. What does that mean for the property market? All those ghost cities, all those empty apartments, now they're going to be empty streets. Do they have a projection for that?
I'm not sure anybody really knows what to do. Gordon is absolutely right about demography. I think the key to look at is the dependency ratio. So when you get more retirees than working people, you have a problem for supporting them. And that also affects housing. Now, the main thing with housing is that I think the Chinese government kind of drank its own Kool-Aid and believed that they could reduce bank lending to property developers. So they started to do that, and developers really pushed pre-sales. So they started to collect 100% of the cost of a development before it was even built. So now that you've had these ghost cities all, you know, go up all over the country, and a lot of developers have run away with the cash, people are thinking, well, I'm not going to prepay. So 90% of the cash flow of these developers is now disappearing.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And we have seen some optimistic numbers being issued by the National Bureau of Statistics. But when we start looking at consumption, for instance, over the Golden Week holiday, which just passed, was down 26%, which is actually quite substantial. We are seeing all sorts of tourism numbers issued by by officials, also showing sharp declines in travel. This would seem to me to point to a broader problem of the failure of consumption. What do you think about what's happening there with the Chinese consumer?
I mean, that clearly is a serious problem. And as consumption in the service industry decline, then employment also declines and income, and it's a vicious cycle. So you know, short of actually giving cash infusions to the public, which the government is not going to do, I really don't know how they address this.
And the if in the Bloomberg report, if they reverse their COVID zero, if the property downturn disappears, if they get investment in manufacturing, if they solve demography, a lot of ifs. Is anybody betting on those ifs? We have about 30 seconds. Is there new money flowing into China, to your knowledge?
Less and less. More of the foreign investment tends to be follow-on investment in companies and investors who are already there. The portfolio investment is going away, so no.
And Stevenson Yang, independent of all of these constraints to mention, that her reporting on housing in the earlier part of this decade, the last decade, was critical to understand this downturn we're living through. She is the author of China Alone, The Emergence From an Impending Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.